This is Spokane Public Radio, and we've gotten support for this program from you, the listener of Spokane Public Radio, and we appreciate that so deeply. We also have gotten support from Too Far North, presenting the traditional Celtic band Alton, Friday, March 25th, 8 o'clock at the Bing. Valentine gift tickets are at ticketswest.com, 800-325-SEAT, and all outlets. There's a lot of cross current lately within the arts. There always has been and there always needs to be, but especially at Gonzaga right now in what I think is a fairly audacious project, which is that early work by Rainer Maria Rilke, The Book of Hours, translated into drama of the Gonzaga Drama Department. Here's Charlie Pepitone. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
And
good morning.
Let's jump right into this. Was this your idea?
It was. Yeah, I read this book, this collection of poetry, as a college freshman and sort of fell in love with it. I stole it from the girl who's now my wife and haven't given it back since.
Perfect. And, well, there's also just that shtick that whatever you learned as a college freshman has a deep regard in there. That's always a lovely time. We'll ask any of these people if they remember when they were freshmen, and we'll get to that. But so you had the book of poetry in your mind, and I guess let's have the quick Cliff Notes description of what the point of the Book of Hours is.
The Book of Hours is the subtitle to it is Love Poetry to God, and so it happened, and he wrote it in 1899. He was about 23 years old, trying to figure out what does it all mean, life, the universe, and everything. And so this collection of poetry is his way of trying to come to terms with what he thought the divine was, what was his role with the divine, and the divine's role in the world that he saw was really changing. So that's the short clip.
That's a good one. And then within that, what struck you, Charlie Pepitone, about how in the world this would work as drama?
I've been really interested in how theater can be a theatrical reaction to poetry. And what does that mean for the body and being a live performance? People encountering poetry, not as a spoken word performance, but as a real theatrical performance where the actors are in the space with the audience, their bodies are expressing the poetry fully, fingertips, everything expressing it. Lights and sound and everything coming together in a non-narrative way, much like poetry is. So it's what we've been trying to do.
Well, that fits nicely into many current senses, including a quick mention that even getting you here suddenly on short notice had to do with Todd Marshall and his what he's already accomplished in his first week as Poet Laureate of Washington, and that I know that for him it is so vital that poetry expand its boundaries in a lot of ways. So with any luck, what you're doing right now is a beginning and not a culmination.
Yeah, I hope so. Poetry is one of those things that it invites an audience into contemplation, and I think that's what we're trying to do with this show, too, is an audience is not seeing it to try to take some sort of narrative clarity out, but as a time for contemplation. What can we learn from this 19th century poet at the cusp of the 20th century? What relevance does he have for us today? And using the language of theater to move us into his world. More than just hearing it, we see it, we feel it. It's a real immersive experience.
Well, and let's move into that then. How do you do that? What was some of your process of can we say that you, Charlie Pepitone, wrote this show in a sense?
I would say we devised it. Mm-hmm. And the idea was we approached this whole process as a sort of pilgrimage. And so early on, all of the cast, we went on Gonzaga's 46th annual pilgrimage to the Cataldo Mission and experienced 200 people walking 11 miles through the wilderness, basically wilderness. We studied the philosophy, the poetry, and the whole time, if the whole process is pilgrimage, we also had a daily physical practice that we worked together, learning how to really express language through the body in sometimes abstract ways. And it all of that physical work comes from some work I've done in Poland with a Polish theater performance methods. So we invited a guest artist from Poland to work with us for 3 weeks.
What's special in Poland about that?
That's a good question. Something about the Polish theater, starting in about the 1950s all the way through today, they have a really visceral, physical approach to the theater. That is, when you watch this theater, you feel it in your gut as much as you get it in your head. And it's really moving. These actors are highly physical and vocal machines. So we invited one of those actors to Gonzaga, Alexander Cazazo, and she worked with the actors for just over 3 weeks.
So did you start this like last August or something like that?
We started the first week of September.
Yeah. And about how many people, how many students are involved in the whole production?
We started with 9. We've got 8 that have worked through it the whole way.
And each one has to participate fully in the poetry and the physicality?
Absolutely. The devising process is, it sort of breaks down the normal process of theater where you've got a director at the top and going down from there. So the actors have directed and choreographed and researched and been literary managers all along the way, everybody doing a little of everything.
We're going to get around to the content in a minute, but I'm so fascinated by what's been set up now about how to do this. I want to bring in any of you students. We have 3 students here, Elizabeth, Breyer, and Jaron, and talk about this challenge of innocently walking into a theater program thinking you're going to, you know, read a little Arthur Miller and go do it on stage or something, and then you have this process. Somebody that cares to jump in on that. You look like you're ready to say something, Elizabeth.
Okay. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. And yeah, going as a theater major into Gonzaga, this is something that I never really expected to do. But I suddenly fell in love with like how a movement just propels text so well and how it's never really assumed that you need to work on both separately and then merge them together. So that was kind of how we worked, is going through the process. We'd go through Rilke's book and we'd, you know, be amazed by the snippets of what he'd say. And then the next day we'd be doing these isolations and just pushing our bodies to these limits that we've never tried before. And then just merging them together and seeing that the marriage is something really beautiful. So, and that's kind of what our show is about. So.
Nice. Either of the other two of you want to amplify that or talk more about that. This is Breyer.
Hi. So for me, it was interesting because I went into it as a performer, sort of expecting more of a framework, because, you know, as a performer, you look for that framework in order to work within it. And we had the poems, which was sort of our main framework, but the physical movement, we all had to like start that from scratch. So there was a lot of improvising. We had this process of creating physical words. So we would take certain images or certain phrases from Rilke's poetry, and then our like gut reactions, our gut physical reactions to those words or phrases, we would just, you know, go for it and do it. And then it turned out to be really beautiful. And I think that the way that we've been working is really nice because the movement is so deep within the poetry, and there's just this depth of signs that I think came out of this method in a way that that is pretty unique.
Nice. That's Breyer. And you, Jaron, how's it struck you and from your perspective?
It was a lot to get used to at first. It was kind of crazy just going from like very traditional theater where it's your cast as a specific role and that's the director and you do what they say. And in this show, it's a lot more open-ended where it's everyone is working together towards the same goal and everyone can contribute something or criticize something.
Nice. It's a great democratic theater process. Well, especially backing up what you said, Breyer, let's start moving into the words of Rilke's poetry. Who decided they were going to say the first poem? That's Jaron. What do you have?
This is, it doesn't really have a title. None of Rilke's poems really have titles, but it's the number that we open the poem that we open our show with. And it sort of like is kind of our thesis statement of the world that we're trying to create. And I'll go ahead and say it.
Go ahead.
Dear darkening ground, You've endured so patiently the walls we've built. Perhaps you'll give the cities one more hour, and the churches and cloisters too. And those that labor, will you let their work grip them another 5 hours, or seven? Until you become forest again, and water, and widening wilderness. In that hour of inconceivable terror, when you take back your name from all things, just give me a little more time. I want to love the things as no one has thought to love them, until they are worthy of you and real. I want only 7 days, 7 on which no one has yet written himself, 7 pages of solitude. There will be a book that includes these pages, and the one who takes it in his hands will long sit staring at it, until he feels you holding him and writing through him.
The opening of this show, The Book of Hours. Charlie, is that also the opening of the Rilke book?
It's pretty close to the beginning of the Rilke book. We took this one, part of the process was taking over 130 poems and distilling it down to what we could do in about an hour's theater. And so this one really gets our, as Jaron said, it's sort of our opening volley, our thesis statement for the show.
Well, it tells a lot of story right there.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we're wondering what's book, what is ours,
the
whole thing. It's a, or even what points is the writer.
And we use this also as a structure. So the rest of the show is basically a page. So we have 7 pages of this Book of Hours that we move through 7 movements that get at what Rilke is trying to ask.
Right. Okay, so that's the opening of this. This is a Book of Hours quickly, parenthetically, I'll get more specific later, but it opens tonight, runs through this weekend, and then most of next weekend, and we'll get into the details in a little bit on that. So that's where we're set up with the hours, the days, the idea, and the idea of searching,
yeah,
of deeply searching. So now, within whose words do we continue? This is Briar.
All right, here we go. I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I have been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know. Am I a falcon? A storm, or a great song. But when I stare into the chasm of myself, I see that my God is dark and like a web, 100 roots silently drinking. This is the ferment I grow out of. More I don't know, for my branches rest in deep silence, stirred only by the wind. You see, I want a lot. Maybe I want it all. The darkness of each endless fall, the shimmering light of each ascent. So many are alive who don't seem to care. Casual, easy, they move in the world as though untouched. But you take pleasure in the faces of those who know they thirst. You cherish those who grip you for survival. You are not dead yet. It is not too late to open up your depths by plunging into them and drink in the life that reveals itself quietly there.
That was Briar Burt doing that poem. Briar, right now you were doing what you were supposed to do, which is standing still and delivering it into a microphone. What are you doing on stage during that poem?
On stage, I have this series of movements that kind of... it's interesting how it worked out because we did the physical words before we had chosen who would be delivering each of these poems. And so it just kind of worked out that my movements have this really circular, fluid, lyrical motion that really matches with what Rilke's trying to say. And yeah, it's a lot of this, the matching up with the, of the movements and the poetry has sort of just happened organically and kind of miraculously in this really kind of magical way. So yeah.
Yeah, the power of art. Wow. Okay, that was Briar Burt, and then Elizabeth Spindler. Where do we go from here?
So my text is the final page of Book of Hours, and we entitled it as our ensemble, Is There Hope? So we're asking all these questions throughout about where is God? How do we commune with God? Can we commune with God? Can we hear God? And so this is kind of wraps it up with asking, is there hope? And here it goes. Okay. You who know, and whose vast knowing is born of poverty, abundance of poverty, make it so that the poor are no longer despised and thrown away. Look at them, standing about like wildflowers which have nowhere else to grow. Lord, the great cities are lost and rotting. Their time is running out. The people there live harsh and heavy, crowded together, weary of their own routines. Beyond them waits and breathes your earth, but from where they are, it cannot reach them. Their children waste their days on doorsteps, always in the same shadow. They don't know that somewhere wind is blowing through a field of flowers. And young girls have only strangers to parade before, who don't know them, truly. So, chilled, they close. And in back rooms, they live out the nagging years of disappointed motherhood. Their dying is long and hard to finish. Hard to surrender what you never received. Their exit has no grace or mystery. It's a little death hanging dry and measly like a fruit inside of them that never ripened. Where is he? The clear one whose song has died away. Do the poor who can only wait feel him among them? Does he rise for them, the young and joyous one? Perhaps at nightfall. Poverty's evening star.
That was Elizabeth Spindler and the poem about hope at the end of this. And for any of you, this is this was what, 1903 or some time around there.
1899 is when he at least when he started it. About 1903, he finished it.
Yeah, and so the Rilke Book of Hours, and yet this. Kind of, I'm getting chills thinking about the relevance of what we just heard.
Yeah, absolutely. It's when we were speaking with the translator, Joanna Macy, she spent at least an hour and a half, 2 hours just speaking with us about Rilke's continued relevance. And it was almost like he sensed from his vantage point at the beginning of the 20th century that the world was changing. He was from the Czech Republic. He was born and raised in Prague. And he's looking at Europe at that time and witnessing what's happening around him. And it seems like his poems are even more relevant to today, with our migrant crisis, all manner of things going on.
Yeah. And the translator that you worked with, that you presented this idea to, is that person going to encounter this work of art?
We're getting a really nice video made for her. She's not able to join us. She lives in California. She's in her mid-80s and still working. She's an environmental activist and as well as a translator of Rilke. And she was really sort of astounded that we would ask about doing a theater version of it. No one has ever done it, anything like this with the Book of Hours that I could find. And she and her partner, Anita Barrows, both of them, have been really supportive of it. it's been really nice to have them on board.
Right. The Book of Hours, Rilke's poetry, expressed in words and movement by Gonzaga, theater and dance, is that what you call
it? Yeah, that's
what you call it, what you call yourselves. And it opens tonight, 7:30, and tomorrow night at 7:30, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, alternative to the pagan ceremony of our civilization. And then next week, Friday night, 7:30, and concluding Saturday afternoon at 2 for the 5 performances of this. And you say you have a talk back this Saturday.
Talk back this Saturday night after the show with me and with Colleen McLean, our dramaturg, who did a lot of our historical research, and also English professor Linda Tredinnick, who will speak about the poetry. And our scenic design professor, Courtney Smith, will also join us.
And speaking of scenic design, this is in your theater, which is, for conceptual purposes, the east end of the old building at Gonzaga.
That's right.
College Hall, they call it.
Audiences who've been to that theater before will not recognize the place now. We're doing a In the Round. It's a really immersive environment. When you walk in, it looks like a completely different space. It's really exciting what Courtney's done.
The Book of Hours, opening tonight at Gonzaga. So certainly my thanks to Blair Spindler, Briar Burt, and Jaron Fugley for coming in. Charlie Pepitone
thanks so much.
For getting this going.
Thank you.